you know the devil's advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I've been joined by a fine guest here in the world headquarters. He is Dr. Louis Friedland. Dr. Friedland, welcome. Lou.
Thank you.
What do you prefer to be called?
Just Lou Friedland is good.
Lou, pull that mic a little closer. Let him hear you loud and sexy.
Okay. There you go. All right, Lou. Good to meet you, man.
How's that?
Good, sir. Good. Yeah. Now, you are recently quoted in the New York Times, I believe. But I want to go back. You know, I've been quoting your work for a long time, sir. First and foremost, what work did you do at the UW? Just introduce yourself for those that don't know.
I was a professor of journalism and mass communication at the UW for about 30 years. I retired in January, and last thing we did is published a book called Battleground about Wisconsin and political communication in Wisconsin. So I've been studying Wisconsin politics and communication for a long time, but seriously for probably 12 continuous years.
And I know you did a study here in the state of Wisconsin, especially of the right-wing talk radio infrastructure. And the timing on that was approximately 2016. Is that approximately right, sir?
Yeah, we started in 2012, but the in-depth dive that we did started with 2016, although we looked at it from 2012 all the way through 2020. The grad student, who's named Kerry Hughes, give him the credit, who did some work on that, he updated it in 2020, so we have data up through 2020.
And I've quoted that data often. I've used it on the show, sir. I talk about the 81 right-wing talk radio outlets here in the state of Wisconsin. And at that time, understanding this is dated data, if you will, but at that time, they were producing about 235 hours per day across the state, across the broader ecosystem of right-wing talk radio. Well, it was just little old us here in Madison once upon a time. We've grown into another market, and hopefully someday soon we'll get big and we'll fly. But until that day happens, really right-wing media has dominated the state for years, sir.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, going all the way back to 1987 when Rush Limbaugh got on WTMJ in Milwaukee, which, as you know, is a 50,000-watt station that dominates the state. So really, we can go all the way back to there, and then Charlie Sykes in the early 2000s joining WTMJ, and you had that 1-2 punch of Limbaugh and Charlie Sykes. Now, Charlie Sykes, I appreciate what he's been doing in the past, 3 or 4 years, but of course, he was essential to Scott Walker becoming governor. I mean, Scott Walker was on Charlie Sykes' show, 2-3 times a week, and they would actually call each other and, say, hey, why don't you come down? We interviewed Charlie Sykes, and he said every time we called Scott Walker, he was happy to come on down and be on the radio. So really, we have, I think, and I mean this sincerely, Charlie Sykes partly to thank for Scott Walker.
Oh, absolutely. There's a direct causation and correlation there, sir, but please continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, no, I mean, Sykes and Limbaugh, and then of course Mark Belling, the other 50,000-watt station in Milwaukee. Well, those two cover the state, so you don't even have to get much farther than WISN and WTMJ. But we studied the big 12. We call them the Big 12 talkers. Although once Charlie went off the air, it was technically 11. And the stations that they were on just blanketed the state. They blanketed the state, and they blanketed it during prime time is the main thing. They not late in the day, but basically
prime time for radio is effectively 6 a.m. till 6 p.m.
That's right.
Daytime prime time.
Exactly. And so what we saw is that even back in 2012. They covered 48% of the time of prime time on the stations that they were on. So half the time during the day in Wisconsin, and these were, of course, were major radio stations. They weren't the minor radio stations all across the state. Hannity, Levin, and then of course Sykes, Belling, and Vicki McKenna. But then that went up to 54% in 2016, so more than half the day. And then Charlie Sykes dropped out, of course, or he left the air in 2017, I think it was, maybe it was 16. And the number even went up further. So you drop one of the biggest talkers out, and it's 61%. And 61% broadcasting, by 2020, it was pure Trump radio all the time across the entire state of Wisconsin, with no, basically, other than you guys and a few others, and Wisconsin Public Radio for some balance, but no alternative whatsoever to this basically right-wing talk radio flowing through every major radio station in the state, you know, for the major part of the day.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Dr. Lewis Friedland, UW-Madison, and he's joining us. I appreciate it, Lou. I got to ask you, the importance of broadcast radio. I mean, we see all the different ways to communicate now, TikTok and Twitter and, you know, all these different ways that people are now communicating. What is it about broadcast radio? Why is that important to the right wing? And I'll call it the propaganda machine. But why is it that they've gravitated to or have taken over that portion of, you know, the media environment?
Well, the why is because once the Fairness Doctrine was repealed, you know, again back in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan, the gift that keeps on giving, first of all, as we all know, it became very profitable for some of these big AM stations to just be pouring this stuff out. So, you know, angry men screaming on the air for, you know, half of their day got other people listening, and it was very profitable. So that's kind of point one. But beyond that, it was just an environment where there was no answer. There was no way for anybody to respond. And we have evidence that, you know, the more that people are exposed to this, the more they begin to believe it. When you're stuck in a certain kind of environment, and that's what you're hearing, and that's what you're tuning into, and that's what your friends are listening to, well, it starts to sound more plausible. If you're hearing stop the steal, stop the steal, stop the steal, and you're hearing it on the radio, which actually, you know, for most people, we all want to be critical consumers of media and say, hey, wait a minute, is that right or not? But when you hear it on the radio, it's true, right? People take it as being the truth. So it's really important that the right basically captured effectively talk radio across the United States. And it's been that way, almost ever since.
And Lewis, some people don't appreciate when you say they've captured. I just pulled up the Milwaukee Metro ratings, and there's WISN, which is the very conservative, Vicky McKenna, where Dom's buddies hang out, Belling and McKenna and Dan O'Donnell. And then there's the more center-right WTMJ. Well, WTMJ in May of 2022 is pulling a 10.3 share. WISN's a 9.6 share. Collectively, those two stations are a 19.9 share. 20% of all radios in the marketplace from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. are tuned in to right-wing talk radio all day, every day. That certainly affects the narrative.
Oh, of course. And, you know, if you think about that, you know, Mike, they even more so. Look, in Wisconsin, if Democrats don't pull Milwaukee and Madison, if they don't pull significant shares of voters out of those two, well, I say market cities, but markets in media terms, then Democrats can't win in this state. So when you've got one of those major markets getting, you know, huge amounts of talk radio, right-wing talk radio, basically pouring into them, again, 6, 8, 10 hours a day. Well, that's gonna, you know, maybe the market share, maybe the Democratic vote drops from, you know, around an average of 70% to 65% because of that 20%, or maybe on, you know, 63%. Well, that doesn't sound like much, but that's enough to tip an election in this state. So the fact that you've got two of the major radio stations in the state, the two biggest ones, the most powerful ones, broadcasting unalloyed political propaganda for basically every day, 5, 6 days a week, means that essentially one party has captured the two major radio stations in this state, but also many others, you know, dozen of others across the state. It's just, you know, at a basic level, just as a scholar of media and democracy, it's just not fair, right? It's just it's just not right. And essentially, you know, we used to have a system, you know, certainly wasn't perfect in the 50s and 60s under the Fairness Doctrine, 70s. You know, I could tell you everything that was wrong with the media system back then, but one thing was that one party didn't capture a major medium in the United States, and since the 80s, it's just one party has dominated them. Now, of course, we have Fox on cable, too. So you have a right-wing ecosystem from end to end that's broadcasting things that are demonstrably untrue, and that's the polite way of putting it, demonstrably untrue for, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. It's going to affect people. There's just no way to round
it. Lou, let me ask you a quick question. When we talk about those 81 radio stations from your earlier studies, does that include the religious stations?
That number was all out of all local news talk. So some of them, you know, and I'd have to go through the list again, Dom, sure, to be absolutely sure. But I'm guessing that some of them were religious. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the other sort of hidden part. There are these non-commercial stations that churches run that also, many of them are effectively preaching from the pulpit, or they're preaching over the airways in a non-tax tax-deductible fashion, which bothers my friend Dominic to no end. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest live in the Madison studios. He's Dr. Louis Friedland. And Louis, advocacy. You know, setting aside the misinformation that's being promoted on right-wing talk radio, we'll get there. But if all it was is just advocacy for the Republican Party or Donald Trump all day, every day, to this many listeners and this many markets all across the state, I don't see NPR as any sort of fight back. NPR is journalism, and journalism has its place, but journalism is different than advocacy. What Dom and I try to do, and, you know, we're not part of the Democratic Party team per se, but we certainly believe or root most of our ideology somewhere left of MAGA. Let's put it that way. Let's talk about the difference between pure advocacy, if nothing else, whether they were informing their audiences or not, they're certainly advocating a point of view.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that really when you come down to it, I mean, Hannity was sitting, I was hearing y'all both on the air before when I came in. I mean, Hannity's was calling into Trump, you know, they're talking to each other every single day. I don't know. And then Hannity goes on the air for, you know, 3 hours a day across Wisconsin. There's no separation. It's all right-wing talk radio is advocacy for the Republican Party, pure and simple. And so, you know, I don't think there's no daylight there whatsoever.
Lou, some think talk radio is what's wrong with our society. Should we, as the left, and I would like to think, at least how we do it around here, we're leading with truth, and our ideology certainly bleeds into the topics we choose. But do you think the left needs an advocacy platform the same way the right does?
I think it would provide a lot of balance. There's no question about that. When you've got only one side on the air, pervading the airwaves of a single battleground state that can determine the fate of the nation, then yeah, you have to have both sides. Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Well, Louis, the other sort of hidden agenda part is the amount of money being spent on these little radio stations all around the state. And I listen to a lot of my competitors. I listen to people outstate. And they are filthy right now with Ron Johnson ads and Tim Michaels ads. Some of these little station owners are getting $25,000 a month in political buy. Well, if Mr. Michaels happens to be in town, he wants to stop by and get an interview. Yes, sir. Come on in.
Yes, absolutely. Sir.
Similar to the treatment we give you, Dr. Louis Friedland, here in the Madison, the world headquarters.
But I'm not advertising those, and I still got on the air, so that's a good deal. But no, seriously, my colleague Kathy Kramer, who a lot of people know from her book, did a study. And
Let's hold that thought. We'll bring him right back for another segment. More Devil's Advocates, more of Dr. Louis Friedland when we come back.
We never never present ourselves as a free and open forum.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Hey, man, is that freedom rock?
Yeah, man.
Well, turn it up, man.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Make sure you follow us on the socials on Facebook at Devil's Advocates Radio, on Twitter at Devil Radio. And if you miss any of this fine show, go to the website, darnwi.com.
Dominic, I've got a fine guest with me here at the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. He is Dr. Louis Friedland, formerly of UW, now enjoying retirement and occasional media appearances. We appreciate you coming around, Louis. The New York Times article that we started this conversation referenced not just the ecosystem that is right-wing talk radio, but the fact that it's basically misinforming its audience with some malicious intent. And the word that was referenced over and over again, Dems cheat at elections. So everyone on right-wing talk radio, coast to coast, right now is using a very similar vocabulary, and it's all that the Dems cheat. And if Republicans lose, it's only because the Dems cheated. How damaging can that be for our electoral system, do you think, sir?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I think everyone understands that when that this is basically just setting them up to try to steal the election themselves in 2022 or 20, especially 2024. I mean, because if the Dems cheat and the only way, quote, we Republicans can lose, then there's really no way we can lose, essentially, as long as we can overturn those elections in the state legislatures. And I'm sure, obviously, all of your listeners know that the Wisconsin state legislature would be more than happy to just declare, would have been happy to declare Donald Trump the winner in the last election, certainly would do it, or whoever succeeds him in the next one. So it's among the most damaging elements to American democracy, maybe the most damaging that I've seen in 30 years of observing American media.
We know that Dominion Voting Systems sued Fox News for misinforming people specifically regarding Dominion voting. They stole votes from Trump and gave them to Joe Biden. That was the accusation, and the lawsuits are leveled, and we'll see how they play out in the courts. But this is just a step less than that. This is just, well, it's cheating without specifically saying it's Dominion voting machines cheating. And that might keep you out of, let's say getting sued, but I can't imagine what sort of corporate master, how these large corporations like iHeartMedia want their broadcasters out there misinforming the public, I would say with malicious intent.
Yeah, I would say so too. And I mean, obviously the First Amendment protects them, but, there used to be proper regulation, and there's not likely to be any again anytime soon, but at minimum, you should have to have alternative points of view on the air. At least that's my opinion. But we're not going to see that anytime soon. So you're right. I mean, essentially, these guys, and again, most of them are large corporations, as you point out. They're not, you know, I don't condone, as you can imagine, perhaps from this conversation, MAGA or MAGA orientations. But at least I respect somebody who believes this stuff. But these guys, they don't believe it.
No. Talking about the hosts themselves.
I'm talking about, well, some of the hosts do, and some of them don't. But the corporations that own those radio stations don't. They don't. They know that this is BS. And if they were facing a lawsuit, a proper lawsuit, then they'd pull it off because they know that it's indefensible. But you're right. That stop the steal talk. Stop the steal or the Dems cheat. That's just working the refs for the next election. That's all that's doing, and that's what they're setting them up to do.
Lou, man. Okay, so we've identified it. We know this piece in New York Times, very edifying, as is your study in our conversation. But I guess the question is, what are we doing? What are we doing about it? I mean, what do we do as ourselves, Kurti and I, as talk hosts? What do we do as voters? What do we do as media consumers to address this very terrible issue, as you mentioned, a threat to this democracy, greatest have you seen in 30 years?
Well, I wish there were some simple answers, because we have a media system. I think we're in a national emergency, Dom. We have 2 years to 2024, and we need to do things now. So what can people do now? Well, I think people can call in They can call into their local radio stations and they can ask them to have a more balanced diet and put some other people on the.
Yeah, good luck with that, Lou.
I understand. And I think that the real answer is to have, you know, more stations like this one in Wisconsin and hopefully around the country that can provide at least an alternative point of view and to use every media outlet that you can to get a more accurate, factual message out there. At one level, that's not. You know, there's no magic bullet, unfortunately, but it's just tell the truth as often as you can in as many places as you can and hope that people listen.
Do you, Lou, think how about the impact? If I may, one more quick question here, Lou, and I'll let you go, Crudy. The you know, obviously we've mentioned TikTok, social media. This is a fairly new phenomenon as you compare it to the, you know, the age and years of broadcast media. How do you see that playing into this formula?
Well, I think social is really important. I know, that Kristen Bry is on the air in the Shaw and your sister station. And Kristen, of course, has had As Goes Wisconsin going for a number of years now. And I think she really understands how to use social and reach people who are more active on social. So we need, you know, people need to be using every possible platform available to get some other, you know, alternative message out there. There's no question about it. And if TikTok, Insta, Facebook, and I will say one quick thing real quickly is that, and Mike referenced this earlier, the Dems do a lousy job of it for the most part. People are too focused on Twitter. Consultants are too focused on TV. They ought to be paying a lot more attention to radio and to social because there's no reason, you know, that only Ron Johnson's on the air upstate. Those people will take anybody's money, so there's no reason that Dems can't be advertising those outstate radio stations too.
I have not experienced that they do. Should Dems go on right-wing talk radio? Should they go on Fox? They know they're going to catch a beating, but should they do it?
I think if people are prepared, you know, it's always one, you don't want to be their punching bag, you know, and of course that's obviously why they usually ask people who have an alternative point of view on. But if you can hold your own and you can sit there and look them in the eye and tell the truth, sure, I think you get that message out everywhere you possibly can.
Now, Lewis, we offered you a beer here on Lefty Talk Radio. You ever been on Righty Talk Radio? Do they offer you a Spotted Cow or a cold one?
Well, no, I've never been on Right Wing Talk Radio, but I hope they would offer me a Spotted Cow.
I wouldn't bet on that either. Our fine guest, Dr. Lewis Fried. I'm sorry, I didn't say your name right, did I?
Friedland.
Yes. I'm often bad with name, Lewis. I apologize. It's, you know, it's got to be genetic or socialization, one or the other.
Could be the
I can't remember.
Could be the
yeah, it's, it was the vacation I just took. Lewis, always fascinating. Thank you so much, Dr. Lewis Friedland, for coming down and joining us here at the World Headquarters. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour. It's next. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Lou.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest the Democrats use it.
I'm all about resist. I'm resist. This show is resist. We're now part of resist.